Praise the Lord, everyone. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that all you who are listening are well, that you are praising God, and also have made up your mind that you want to go back with him when he returns, and that you are preparing for the coming of our Lord. We will continue on with the Signs of the Time series. We are now on lesson 6, and we're going to further our discussion on the rise of the Antichrist. In the previous lesson, two main points were made as to when the Antichrist will emerge. And as mentioned in Scripture, there will be an apostasy, which is a great falling away of the professing church. And secondly, there will be an invasion of Israel after they are regathered safely in their own land. According to Ezekiel's prophecy, a coalition of nations from the north will attempt to exterminate the Jews. The Antichrist will step in as a peacemaker and sign a peace pact with Israel, which is a covenant to ensure their safety, but his underlying motive is world domination. Now, inquiring minds always want to know, what nationality will he be and what locale will he rise from? So allow me to entertain you for just a moment. Some believe that he will be Muslim for obvious reasons. They do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God or that the Father and Son are one or equal. The Muslim creed states there is one God named Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. So the Muslims do believe that there is one God. However, the scripture says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, that Antichrist denieth the Father and the Son. Also, based on Ezekiel's prophecy, it will be Russia and the Muslim nations that will invade Israel. So that being said, some question, if this is the case, why would any Muslim nation sign a covenant to protect Israel? The two nations hate each other to date, and if the Muslims had their way, Israel would have been wiped out long ago. Some say Antichrist will be Jewish because the Jews are most likely to accept their own. But Jesus was Jewish, and he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, it gives us to know that Antichrist will not regard the God of his fathers. So the presumption is that he will not regard the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But if he is coming to the Jewish nation as a Jew, what need would there be to sign a covenant with his own people? So there are several other theories out there, but I will entertain you no further. So let's direct our attention to what the Word of God reveals. Daniel chapter 7 records the visions of Daniel concerning four great beasts that came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The sea in Scripture is figurative language for the world populace, or sea of humanity, if you will. So the visual imagery of what he saw were four great empires, which were to rise in succession, that would be headed by four Gentile rulers. It is noteworthy to mention that chapter 2 and chapter 7 of the book of Daniel cross-references each other and speaks of the beginning and the end of Gentile world dominion. In revisiting Daniel chapter 2, the prophet interpreted a dream or vision which was given to the then monarch Nebuchadnezzar. The king saw a great image, and as recorded in chapter 2:31, this great image, whose brightness was excellent. The image's head was of fine gold, his breasts and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. Daniel said, "Thou saw until a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces." The image symbolized the outward greatness of the Gentile world power, and it reveals that the Gentile world system will be destroyed, which is this present system. It will end with a sudden catastrophic judgment by the smiting stone, who is Jesus Christ. The beginning of Gentile dominion over the Jews began when Judah was carried away captive into Babylon, and will continue until Christ returns and sets up his millennial kingdom. Jesus declared in the book of Luke chapter 21 verse 24, "And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled," not to be confused with the fullness of time. Composed of four metals, and each metal symbolized four empires. The time of the Gentiles began with the head of gold, which was fulfilled in Babylon through Nebuchadnezzar, which was the first empire. The second empire, seen in the image as the breast and arms of silver, was fulfilled in Media Persia under King Cyrus. This was a dual empire that was represented by the two arms of the image. The third empire was the Grecian Empire, fulfilled under Alexander the Great, represented by the belly and thighs of brass. The last empire, as represented by the legs of iron, is the Roman Empire. It was divided into two parts, the eastern division with Constantinople as its capital, and the western division with Rome as the capital. And I will loop back to the toes of the image momentarily, but I just want to expound on Daniel chapter 7 so that you can see the correlation between the four metals and the four beasts out of the sea. In Daniel's vision in chapter 7, he was also shown the four empires, the Gentile world powers would be comprised, but he sees them as beasts coming out of the sea. The world empire of Nebuchadnezzar was seen as a lion that had eagle's wings. This corresponded to the head of gold of the image described in chapter 2. The world empire of Media Persia was like unto a bear, and this was the second beast that rose from the sea that corresponded to the breast and arms of silver. The third beast which Daniel saw rise from the sea was like unto a leopard, which had upon its back four wings. This was the third world empire of Greece under Alexander, which corresponded to the belly and arms of brass. The four wings of this beast represented the four kingdoms into which the empires of Alexander was divided, and they were Thrace, Macedonia, Syria, and Egypt. Verses 7 and 8 regarding the fourth beast. Daniel wrote, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the fierce from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So this beast that had great iron teeth corresponded to the legs of iron as seen in the image, which represented of its power. It was among the largest empires in the ancient world, spanning 3 continents, including Asia Minor, Northern Africa, and also most of Europe. They had one of the most fierce, outstanding, organized military units, which also was one of the contributing factors that propelled Rome to greatness. The 10 horns of the beast corresponds to the 10 toes of the image. But when we consider the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had as end of the iron rule of the Roman Empire, which at one time was an absolute autocracy, the last form of the Roman Empire will consist of 10 nations ruled by 10 kings. The 10 toes was said to be part iron and part clay, which reveals that the Roman Empire in latter times will have divisions, and that there will be no unity between the iron and the clay. The fulfillment of the toes are yet to be revealed, but it is safe to say that the stage have already been set for the manifestation of these nations. Looking once again to Daniel chapter 7, it is notable that one particular element in the vision that was given to Daniel was omitted from the dream given to Nebuchadnezzar. A simple explanation could be that the additional revelation did not pertain to the Gentiles, but to the Jews in the latter day. It was regarding an 11th horn that rose up among the 10. In verse 8, Daniel wrote, "I considered the horns, and beheld there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. In the book of Revelations, chapter 17, verses 12 and 13, it reads, "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength to the beast," which means they will be confederated. While it is understood that the ancient Roman Empire fell and do not visibly exist, there will be a revival of it comprised of 10 kings, and the head of the empire will be the last Roman emperor and Gentile ruler, the Antichrist. In this additional revelation, Daniel also sees that the little horn will increase in power and subdue three of the 10 kings to the extent that their identity and kingdoms are completely destroyed. So getting back to the question concerning what region the Antichrist will rise from and what nationality will he be, we derive from the scripture so far that he will be a Gentile. Number two, he will rise during the time of the Gentiles, which will be the time of the end. He is the little horn which came up among the toes of the image. Number three, the toes represents 10 nations that will be ruled by the Antichrist. And number four, the toes of the image, as seen in the great image of Daniel chapter 2, will be a part of the Roman Empire, which will be revived in the latter day. It is notable in scripture that the Antichrist is called by different names. He is referred to in the book of Isaiah as the Assyrian, or the king of Assyria. Historically, what do we know of Assyria? It was a part of the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. But in 64 BC, Syria became a Roman province under Pompey. Now, these are also some interesting facts. The Syrian religion prior to the conquest of Rome was Christianity, which was adopted later by the Romans. As mentioned, the Roman Empire was divided into two divisions: the Western Empire with Rome as its capital, and the Eastern Empire with Constantinople as its capital. When the Roman Empire fell, Syria became part of the Eastern or Byzantine Empire. And during that time, they were fully Christianized. But in 637 AD, Muslim armies defeated the Byzantine Empire, and they took control of Syria. And after the conquest of the land by the Muslim Arabs, Christianity was supplanted and replaced slowly with Islam. The revived Roman Empire that will be comprised of these 10 kingdoms will in essence be the last form of Gentile world power. These confederated kingdoms will cover the regions formerly ruled by Rome. Syria, also referred to in scripture as Assyria, was once a region that was a part of the Roman Empire. When you read the prophecies in the book of Isaiah addressing the Assyrian or king of Assyria, it is evident that there were implications of a yet futuristic judgment upon the Assyrian and the final destruction of all Gentile world powers at the return of the Lord in glory. So there is a correlation between the Assyrian and the destruction of the Gentile world power. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 23 through 24, 23 and 24 reads, "For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined, in the midst of the land. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt." Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 through 27 reads, "The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have proposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders." This is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts hath proposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? So this future Assyrian king will be made manifest when Israel is in its own land. He will be brought to Palestine and destroyed there. He is the little horn or Antichrist that shall come out of Syria. If we consider the religious landscape of Syria today, reportedly 87 are Sunni Muslims, 2.5 to 10% are Christians who are associated with either the Greek Orthodox of Antioch, the Syriac Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church, the Assyrian Church of the East, or other church establishments. There are also other religious practices, and it has also been reported that atheism is on the rise in Syria. The Constitution of the Syrians Arab Republic guarantees freedom of religion. So having knowledge of all of these things, it is probable that the little horn is an apostate from Christianity. We do know that he will be a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is one who will be a denier of the Son, but calls himself a Christian. But it will be made manifest that he is not who he say that he is. And if we want to go down the road, as some people perceive that he will be Muslim, then we can refer back to the history of Syria, the fact that they were once a Christian nation who became apostate. In essence, they forsook the God of their fathers. So we're going to end it right here and continue on the next lesson, which will be lesson 7 of the Signs of the Time series. And we're going to talk about the tribulation period. I thank you for listening. And as always, I give you Bible references because it is my wish and desire that you will not just listen to what I'm saying, but that you would pick up the Word of God and read it for yourselves. And also, it is noteworthy to make mention, you know, that Daniel and Revelation work hand in hand, and you cannot understand one without the other. As we've seen today, I made certain references from both Daniel and Revelation. And when you read them, you get a more concise and full picture of what it looks like in latter times. But my prayer is, you know, for those of you who've been listening to, you know, what some might call these doom and gloom messages, is that you get the full understanding that this thing is real and it is serious. But the Lord has given us a way of escape so that we will not have to endure these things that are to come. And through Jesus Christ, the Lord made a way for the church, people who will be a part of his church, to be caught up out of here before the tribulation period. So you don't even have to worry about who the Antichrist is, what he's going to look like. You know, I believe, you know, if you know, you haven't made up in your mind yet, or you're not preparing, these messages might come in handy long after I'm gone, because prayerfully I'm fighting every day, you know, to want to be a part of that number, you know, when the fullness of Gentile comes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, to be a part of that number so that I will not have to endure what is to come. So God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. Thank you for listening, and tune in again for lesson 7. Amen.